Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, joining me here in studio in Washington is a woman that I've admired for a while, whose commentary and writing that I've been following, but we haven't had her here until right now. Jennifer Say is the author of a book called Levi's Unbuttoned, The Woke Mob Took My Job But Gave Me My Voice. And she's also here in D.C. for a very exciting reason today. We'll get into that. Jennifer, it is great to meet you.
It's terrific to meet you as well. Thanks so much for having me.
So I actually hadn't seen the book cover until you gave me a copy, and here you are in your denim, which is so appropriate. Our audience might have no idea who you are, or they might say, that name rings a bell, or they might know your work very intimately. For those who are uninitiated in the Jennifer Say experience, give us your background, maybe just a quick explanation of your career up until just a few years ago when things took a huge turn.
Yeah. I'm going to start slightly back further, but do it very fast because it's relevant to the new project.
Sure.
I had a pretty unusual childhood. I was an elite gymnast. I was the 1986 national champion and a 7-time national team member. This was in the 80s. Long time ago. I'm old. But, you know, I very much enjoyed the benefits of Title IX. I started competing when I was in 1974. So that's relevant. The other piece that's relevant is 20 years after I left the sport, I continued to suffer because of the abusive training culture. Emotional, physical, sexual abuse are rampant in the sport. I think everybody knows that now because of the case of Larry Nassar,
yep,
which I won't get into. But he was the doctor for Team USA who abused over 500 athletes. And that story broke in around 2016-17. But anyway, I wrote a book in 2008 to try to kind of make, I was 40, and I tried to make sense of why I was still feeling this way. You know, anxiety, low self-esteem, all sorts of issues, depression. And it really was a result of this really abusive training culture that I endured as a child. And I was the first gymnast to speak out on it back in 2008. And it was not okay. I'll just say that. It seems like that's an okay thing to say now. It was not okay to say it in 2008. I was kind of mini canceled for the first time, but I persisted because I didn't want other kids to go through what I had. By the time I was redeemed, it was about 2018, Larry Nassar went to prison.
A decade later.
It took a decade.
Huh.
It took me too.
Yeah.
Before that, you didn't really have to listen, let alone believe women. And, you know, I was saying things about very well-respected coaches. The Olympic team coach in 1984, who was a well-known pedophile in the sport. I traveled around the world with him to go to various competitions. And we all knew we had to stay quiet about it. You know, you might not get picked for the team. It's a subjective sport. You get chosen for the team. You cannot be a troublemaker. You know, I learned that lesson. And I was a very obedient person up until about 15 years ago. So all that, you know, that's one aspect of my growing up. I began to work in corporate America I was about 24 years old, rose the ranks, spent 23 years at Levi's. In 2020, a few years after I was redeemed in the gymnastics thing, I put myself in hot water again. And I was very outspoken about COVID and school closures in particular, starting in March 2020.
So basically immediately.
Before immediately. Like before they closed the schools, I was railing about the fact that they were going to close the schools.
So, and I give you credit for that because in those very early days, we really didn't know much of anything. So my initial instinct was, let's follow what the experts say. Let's do this together. We'll stay safe. How many ever days it was to slow the spread. And then pretty shortly thereafter, I became increasingly skeptical, especially with some doctors and medical experts saying, well, hang on, what about this? What about that? And then it was sort of like, well, you be quiet. But you were at least wondering about this from the get-go and saying some of these things out loud before it was cool, before it was allowed, really. In fact, it was seen as dangerous and kind of wild-eyed and crazy. And so you had been at this company for a long time, and yet the knives were unsheathed for you pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I would just sort of pull back to the fact that I was living in San Francisco. And California, governed by Gavin Newsom, state that kept schools closed the longest of any state, most severe restrictions to children.
So much harm.
Long after adults could go to bars and strip clubs and do whatever they wanted. They could go to stadiums with 20,000 people to watch the Warriors. Children could not go to school.
Governors could go to fancy restaurants even before other people couldn't. I remember that with Gavin Newsom. Yeah. But the rules were bizarre. They made no sense. They were anti-science. And it seemed like the most anti-science harm was being inflicted on kids.
Kids bore the brunt. I love mocking Gavin Newsom. As a former Democrat, you can take delight in that if you like. He also was sending his own children to in-person private school. So in San Francisco and California more broadly, the private schools all opened in the fall of 2020. And the people sending their children to $60,000 a year private schools were yelling at me that I was a murderer and a teacher killer and a racist. Mm. So it was really the whole state and city. And eventually I picked up I was very outspoken from the beginning. And it's interesting you say, you know, it was 15 days to slow the spread at first, and they kept moving the goalposts.
Right,
and
30, and then...
That's probably when you were like, wait a minute, they moved it, and they didn't tell us why. But even in the very early days, the age stratification was very clear. They didn't talk about it, but it was there.
Oh, they suppressed it. Like,
yeah.
For older people, much more dangerous. On vaccines, there were people who really needed the vaccine and others who probably didn't. There were people who were basically unaffected by the disease, i.e. kids, and yet they made none of these distinctions.
That's
at
right.
All for, like, years.
Two years. Everyone was at equal risk. It was like they wanted to treat us like we were all idiots and say, you know, you couldn't handle nuance. Everyone's at equal risk. Everyone needs to stay home. Everyone needs the vaccine. Everyone needs four vaccines.
Right.
None of this was true. So there was this like horrific lie that underpinned all of the restrictions to children and all the harm that we now know has been done to children.
And you said this out loud, pretty loudly. And then what happened? The subtitle of your book is "The Woke Mob Took My Job." Farewell, Levi's. At some point.
Well, I did resign at a certain point. I left the company after 23 years. You know, I had left my city. I couldn't stand to live there anymore.
Were they telling you the company stopped talking about this? We want to keep you, but just shut up.
You know, I made the decision to resign. I felt I couldn't be in that community anymore in San Francisco. I couldn't be a Democrat anymore. I mean, that's kind of where we are. So, you know, I made the decision, and the book is really about my entire time at Levi's. I wouldn't have spent 23 years in a place if I didn't love the brand and love the product. Most days I still wear it. I didn't hear in
D.C.
Well,
it's like the guy who just resigned from NPR. He loves the place but couldn't stay.
Yeah. It wasn't going to be for me anymore, and I love the brand. I wear it every day. 501s are my favorite jeans. But I went on to, you know, I wanted to focus on other things. I wrote the book. I'm making a film called Generation COVID, a documentary, which is almost done. We're in the editing phase. We've been filming kids across the country for 2 years to find out. Because, you know, all the adults are talking about this. Who's talked to the kids?
So that's a good point.
I want to hear from them, and I really think when people hear from the kids themselves, they might reevaluate.
When that film is forthcoming, please let us know, because we're going to want to see it. We're going to want to talk to you about it again. But you're here in D.C. for a different reason, another project that you've been pursuing. Let's explore that as soon as we come back on The Guy Benson Show with Jennifer Say.
America is listening to The Guy Benson Show.
We're back. It's The Guy Benson Show. Jennifer Say is here with us, and you're in town in Washington rolling out this new product line. There's an event tonight that I'll try to get to. Tell us what you're up to.
Yeah, I just launched a new brand 3 weeks ago called XXXY Athletics. It is the only athletic brand to stand up for the protection of women's sports and female athletes. We want women's sports to remain female. We think women deserve their own sports and spaces. And there's all these athletic brands out there. They all claim to champion women and care about women. And not one has taken a stance on this issue of male-bodied athletes entering women's sports and spaces.
You're wearing a t-shirt right now that says woman with a little trademark next to it. So XXXY is the brand. Obviously, it's a play on chromosomes.
Correct.
And you're making the biological point that I think is making a comeback. I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but my instinct is with some of the headlines from around the world and some changes in policy in the UK and Europe and starting to seep in here, maybe there's been something of a turnaround on this. both in the scientific realm, the medical realm, where people are saying there's actually not really strong evidence at all for some of the things, again, being done to kids. And then there's also the basic sense of fairness that Americans have, broadly speaking. We're a country that wants fair play. And pick your example, but there was one a few days ago that I saw, track athlete, born male, clearly looks like a young man, just crushing these girls in a track meet, just blowing past them and winning easily. And Americans who aren't bigots or no one hates trans people, I mean, transphobia exists and there are some hateful people, but overall, most people say, do your thing, but that is not fair.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. I think it was in Oregon. 2 seconds. He won the 200 by over 2 seconds, which is a lot, I'm told, in a short distance sprint. And it's interesting, if you watch that video to the end, which I'm sure you did, not one person, no high fives. He walked off alone. No one congratulated him. People want a fair fight. And I would agree with you. I hope truth is making a comeback. You know, my intent is not for this to be political. I know it is. So don't look at me like I'm crazy, but it shouldn't be. It's just true.
No, it's crazy that we have to do something like this. It's crazy that there's a big debate about whether women should only compete in women's sports. That's what's crazy.
That is what is crazy. And what's crazy is people, 70% of Americans agree with us. That includes Democrats. And what's crazy is they're afraid to say a true thing, but because they're afraid they'll get smeared as a bigot. And you know what I tell them when they ask me, what should I do? I say, put your big boy pants on. You will get smeared, but it's a lie. So you have to do it anyway, because the truth matters.
And we had Caitlyn Jenner here on the show recently. And if she can make these points proudly, given her background when she was Bruce and all the athletic exploits back in the day, that's a pretty powerful voice. It's hard to say, well, look at that transphobe, Caitlyn Jenner, the most famous trans person arguably in the world.
Right, who I believe the year she came out as trans was ESPN's Courage Award winner, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award winner. You know, they give that award, the ESPN Arthur Ashe Courage Award, at the ESPYs. Not anymore. You know, they'll kind of try to probably take that award back. But it is silly. I mean, 5 years ago, if you said men and women were different, male bodies are stronger and faster, everybody would have nodded along. Somehow it's become political and ideological, and you can't say true things. And I,
especially the harder you sort of prostrate yourself and posture as an adherent of science and loving science with a capital S, and we believe in science in this house, the likelier you are to also dispute actual science on this point.
And on COVID.
But it's like, oh, well, what does that really mean? And muscle twitch and all that. That's not really proven, even though it is, I think the term would be settled science.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing some of the headlines you'll find. There was an article, this is a little bit ago, over a year ago, in The Atlantic by a reporter named Maggie Mertens, who basically overtly said the science on this is not settled. It's been debated for many, many years by doctors in the medical community, then cited no evidence of that debate, of course, because there is no evidence of that debate. And there are no doctors who are sane that would concede that there is no difference between male and female bodies.
Well, it's like the Williams sisters, right? Some of the best female athletes of all time, Venus and especially Serena, they've admitted this openly. They competed against a low-ranked male and got destroyed by him.
Yeah, they each did.
They each played
a set, and they lost, I think, 6-1 and 6-2.
Yeah, just got totally beaten by anonymous, low-ranked male tennis player. These are the best women ever to play the game. And they're like, yeah, this is what this is. We all understand it. And, you know, being in San Francisco for so long and being a Democrat for so long, like, you don't strike me as someone, they can try, but I don't think they can paint you as, well, this is clearly someone who has it in for the LGBT community and she's a hater. That's what they try to say.
Oh, they are saying that. That is what they will say. And yeah, you're right. I lived in San Francisco for 33 years. I worked in the fashion industry.
Right.
Half of the members of my team, imagine working in the fashion industry in San Francisco, pretty much like half the members of my team were LGBTQ. My best friend for 35 years is gay. He came out and had to live with me because his own parents kicked him out of the house. Like, this is, but they do it anyway. They do it anyway. I was a racist during COVID because I didn't care if black children died. My children, my two older children, are mixed race and their father's black, but I'm a racist who wants black children to die. It doesn't have to make sense. You know this.
It's actually very sick That's actually really sick, right? For you who has literally walked the walk on supporting someone in your life for being gay when he was going through a hard time, someone who has mixed race children with a black dad call you a racist, like it's a next level sickness. And it proves that they will throw those epithets at anyone, which is very ugly. And again, going back to fairness, very unfair. But I think it's so patently absurd and offensive that it's losing its meaning. They're losing some of that power, thank goodness.
I completely agree with you. And I'll admit, it really hurt me at first, and I tried to defend myself. But they're not honest brokers when they throw those names. And so you can't. And so now I laugh because it's so silly and ridiculous. Call me whatever you want. I'm also Jewish, and I've been called a Nazi. So, you know, it doesn't have to make sense. And so you have to laugh at it. And that's what I tell people. You got to stand up and you got to say true things. We have to live in material reality. I'm not giving that up. Really bad things happen when we live in a false reality.
Fantasy?
The example I always use, which people can understand, in gymnastics when I was growing up, we were growing up in this reality, false reality, that was, this isn't abuse, it's tough coaching. This is tough coaching, and anyone who says otherwise is weak and should leave. Well, calling abuse tough coaching allows for a lot of abuse.
And it doesn't change the reality of the abuse.
That's right.
Jennifer Say, this new brand, tell us one more time about it and where people can find it, because is it like t-shirts? Is it leggings? Is it sneakers? What can people get?
Yeah. So if you go to thetruthfits.com, that's our sort of vanity URL. It's easy to remember, thetruthfits.com. It'll take you to our website, xx-xyathletics.com. Right now, we're selling casual athletic wear. So sweats, very high quality fleece, sweats, t-shirts, some with a saying on it, like the one I'm wearing, Woman TM, because apparently we have to trademark that space now of being a woman. But very, very soon we do have performance gear. So leggings, bike shorts, performance fabrics, moisture wicking for men and women.
Okay, I was going to ask,
yes.
For both.
Yes.
Okay.
So check out what we have now, but then sign up for the email. You get 15% off on your first purchase, and then you'll know when new products come in. My goal is to make a world-class clothing brand, best in class.
And you know the space. You've worked in the space for decades, and now we have XXXY athletic gear, thetruthfits.com with Jennifer Say. Her book is Levi's Unbuttoned. The woke mob took my job, but gave me my voice, and that voice has been with us now for two segments here on The Guy Benson Show. It is great to meet you in person. Congratulations. Good luck. And we'll have to talk about the film when it comes out.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
It's The Guy Benson Show. We'll be right back.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.